If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Ruth chapter 2 as we get ready to enter the fields of Bethlehem again this morning. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for letting us walk through the rich fields of grain that you give us, Lord. And as we look at this story again today of Ruth and Boaz, this divine appointment, Lord, that you set up as they were walking through the fields of grain. Lord, this morning we are walking through the fields of grain. Lord, rubbing our hands across the top as the wind blows them and fills the countryside. What a glorious sight, Lord, your word is and how it's going to minister. And I pray we'd receive it from heaven. I pray, God, you would be our teacher. And Lord, help us to glean from your field, even as Ruth is doing today as we get into your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today we get into Ruth meeting her Redeemer, and this is quite the divine appointment. One of the things we're going to see is God has divine appointments in our life and specific moments that he brings them to pass. Did you know that God specifically brought you here this morning? That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I can't find a verse that says God brought you to Calvary Chapel this morning. But the Bible says that God ordained the days of the believer every day. He ordained it and he's planned it. So if you're here this morning, and you obviously are, God brought you here. And what that means is there's something he wants you to take home. There's something he has for you. He wants you to have ears to hear. And so have your heart open, have your ears open about what God is going to say to you as we walk through the fields of Bethlehem this morning. Now, we ended last week with Ruth and Naomi entering the land again there in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And this is quite an amazing timestamp that we have. Because what this tells us of, this was the week of the Passover. This was the beginning of the barley season, which was the Passover week, somewhere right around there. And the rabbis believe, and those in Jewish historians, it happened exactly this Passover week that we're about to talk right now, which again is what we call Easter and or Resurrection Sunday. And so there's so much symbolism going on here with Ruth and Naomi going back, with Boaz being the redeemer for them, that again, as we look at the timing of this, God not only uses their lives, God uses the timing to make pain a picture for us, which is quite amazing. The symbolic meanings. Again, for example, God brought them out of the world, out of Egypt, very quickly for the Passover, after the Passover blood was spilled, even as Ruth and Naomi were brought out of Moab back to the promised land, as God was bringing them out of Egypt to the promised land. And again, it would have been happening. Again, the rabbis say that it was literally Passover day that Naomi left. That Ruth and Naomi left. Again, that's what their historians say. And again, so again, as they were leaving, the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, and this whole picture now beginning to fall in place. So also, if you remember, they're going to go there to this place where the Passover took place, or originated, I should say. The Passover lambs were specifically raised in Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting? And even as Jesus, our Redeemer, our Passover lamb, came out of Bethlehem, Bethlehem was the place they raised all of the Passover lambs. So the symbolism here just continues to get richer and richer as we go through this. It was also at the time of the Passover when all the leaven was removed. Leaven in Scripture is a type of sin and evil. And when we come under the blood of the Passover lamb, we repent of our sins and we're washed clean of the leaven, which means now they would eat all week unleavened bread, representing the forgiveness that God gave them. Even as Ruth and Naomi now coming back to the land, Ruth being forgiven for the first time, believing in the God of Israel, Naomi being re-forgiven, and she's now repenting and going back to where she never should have left, getting back into her home and back into her place, this repentance before God. But here's where it gets even more exciting. 3 days later, well, you have the Passover, then on the third day is the Feast of First Fruits. And the Feast of First Fruits is the very first sprigs of barley that would come up out of the ground. You would chop it down and take it to the priest. He would wave it as an offering to the Lord. It represented two things. It represented the tithe, that is, God is the one giving us everything we have. So we're giving God back the first to acknowledge God and to recognize we would have nothing if God didn't give it to us. But there's a deeper spiritual meaning in that as well, and that is, it's a sign of new life. It's a sign of something new, fresh, coming out of the ground. And for the believer, it's the sign of resurrection, because it was on the third day after the Passover, what happened? Jesus resurrected from the dead. And so now we see them going back with this picture. It's all just being literally lived out at the time that they're doing it. And Boaz, their redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, who was the family member who could buy back the property and restore them, they're going to meet him for the first time when they come back into the land. And again, this whole picture again, but the picture gets even further developed Again, because as we said, on this journey, again, remember, they're traveling broken, they're traveling beaten down, and when they get there, again, if this is indeed on the third day when this took place, you have this picture of the resurrection, and according to the Jewish historians, again, the Jews kept better records of their actual events than we would, because it wouldn't be as important to us. They say that literally, remember we said the day that they came into the town was the day that Boaz's wife died. And they say the reason everyone was there to greet Naomi and to greet Ruth and to say, is this Naomi and what's going on? And of course, we know the rest. And who's this young woman with you? Although we don't see that recorded in scripture, is because the town was gathered together for the funeral of Boaz's wife. And so again, in some strange way, without meeting, they were already there, not really understanding what God was doing, but God was working a resurrection from the dead right there in front of them. That is a new resurrection for Naomi and Ruth, a new resurrection for Boaz, a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us, our Passover lamb there in Bethlehem in the house of bread. And again, God may be orchestrating a resurrection for you. Well, let me say this, God is orchestrating a resurrection for you this morning. Because although you may know the Lord, God has new seasons. And the Bible says we go from glory to glory. And that means God is not done. You know, we get older, we think, well, how did these amazing things happen when I was younger and I gave my life to the Lord? And maybe you are younger now and going through that. But for those of us that have been walking with the Lord a while, listen, God has brand new and amazing things for every season of our life. Do you know that? He's got something brand new he's cooking for you right now in heaven's kitchen that's gonna blow you away if you stay with him. If you stay on the path and keep walking, he has new things, new life springing forward all the time. And this is exactly a picture of what we're seeing here. And I also find it interesting in relation to this, as they get there, it's gonna be Ruth and Naomi that first figure out who the Redeemer is, that there's a Redeemer for Naomi, as she goes, hey, this is the guy connected to our family. We'll see that next week. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus resurrected, who was the first, who were those the first ones that it was revealed to? The women. And now we see the women being the first ones here that the Redeemer is revealed to in this whole picture. And also, you see this thing where you have the Naomi representing the nation of Israel, just kind of bitter and pulled away. And you've got Ruth, this Gentile bride, who's now going to end up marrying the Redeemer, the bride of Christ, the church, marrying our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, making this connection and bringing the two back together as one. And so this whole picture throughout Ruth is so beautiful, prophetically and in so many ways, of what God is doing. And so I want to jump right in. This is, again, the beginning of the harvest, Passover week probably. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It's there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And so now we come to this Boaz. Let's talk a little bit about him. He, again, we're introduced officially to this kinsman redeemer that can redeem the family and the property and bring it back in. His father's name was Elimelech, or they would say Elimelech. And why Elimelech? Eli is God, El. Melech is king. And again, his father's name meant my God is king. And how appropriate for his father's name to mean my God is king. And now we see the Redeemer, who's also the king and God as well, but the Father in heaven representing the Father over Jesus. But Boaz here means strength, literally is what it means. And the Jews say that Boaz in scripture represents the one who will bring strength and glory back to the Jewish people. Does that sound familiar? That is their Messiah. He will bring strength and glory, their Redeemer, back to the Jewish people. It's interesting, when you would enter into the temple, they had two pillars there, one called Jachin and one called Boaz. Jachin means he will establish. And that means God will establish his worship, God will establish his temple, God will establish his kingdom. Boaz means strength, and so God will do it by his strength. What does the Bible say? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And this was represented in God's power and might and God's establishment there in these pillars. And also, we know about Boaz. He was a great man of wealth, it says here. How important that would have been for Naomi and Ruth. And why, remember, their husbands had died. And so, again, they needed now, again, someone to take care of them. And so they would need someone that had the money to provide for them. As the Redeemer is now buying them back, he would be the one providing for them. And what a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ again, as we come to the Lord and he provides all of our needs. He's the one that's our protector. He's the one that's our provider. He's the one when everything falls apart and seems to die, he brings resurrection life and renews us and starts it anew. But it's interesting, too, because the word here is not just a great man of wealth. The wording here also means a mighty man of valor. And again, the historians say that indeed Boaz was known as a mighty man of valor. Some say he was a judge of Israel, although we don't see him necessarily. Some say we might, but either way, he was a judge of Israel. And so he was known as a mighty man of valor. And again, what a beautiful picture of Jesus, our Redeemer, that mighty man of valor. And again, watch what God is doing. Even as God has a perfect moment where each of us become the bride of Christ. There was a day set aside before the world ever began that God chose that you were going to get saved that day. Now, I don't know why. I go back and, Lord, why didn't you do it sooner for me? You know, Mark, you weren't ready. Whatever the case might be. I don't know. But he has a certain day that we're going to do that. God had set aside this day for Boaz to meet Ruth and for this romance to begin. And this, not just for them, but the picture of Jesus to his church. And what makes this so interesting to me as well, again, according to Jewish historians, Boaz was a member of the Sanhedrin. They were the leaders of the nation, although they were just the judges or one of the 70, maybe not official Sanhedrin, but the elders of the land. And they had just had a meeting, according to the Jewish records of the Sanhedrin, right before Boaz got there in this scene we're about to see, and deciding what they would do with the women of Moab. Now, what do I mean by that? Again, God had said when the children of Israel were coming into the land, because Moab, the people of Moab, Balaam, remember Balak hired Balaam to try to curse them, and they ended up falling into sin with the people of Moab. They were known as a very corrupt people, a very sensual people, and they pulled the children of Israel into sin and into corruption. And because they wouldn't give them drink and water as they were coming through, even though they said they would buy it, then what God said is, okay, for 10 generations, you can't be a part of the children of Israel in the temple. And so they excluded men and women at that point, is how it was understood. But they had just met, and according to Jewish historians, they had just decided in the meeting before what we're reading in chapter 2 that the women of Moab would be allowed to marry into, if they became converts, they could marry into the Jewish family because it was the men who were the leaders and they were the ones to be held the most accountable, which is still true today in God's eyes. The men are held more accountable than the women in our homes for what our family does and for what we're involved in. God's going to hold us accountable more than the wife. That's just what the Word of God says. So they said, all right, so the women are okay. So right before God sets up this meeting with Boaz and this little beauty from Moab, he says, it's okay. It's okay, Boaz. A door's been opened for you. Now, God knew all this, and God's timing is always perfect, but I love the way we see God's intimate hand working. And again, the timing, down to the very second, God has our days figured out and who we're going to meet, the divine appointments, and the things that he's lined up for us. And so notice what it says, verse 2. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. Now, no doubt, again, very clearly here, Naomi had shared with Ruth the Jewish culture and what the Word of God said in the book of Leviticus. And what is that? It said, all right, if you're poor and you can't provide for yourself, and this would especially come into play for women, but there were also the poor families where the men were the leaders and didn't have a job or whatever the case might be. He said, leave the corners of the fields when everyone goes out. And most of the culture did farming, almost everyone. He said, for those of you that don't have the money for a farm or don't have the land or whatever, as you that do glean your fields, leave the corners. And that way that, again, God's welfare system is a much more, a better way than we ever do it here in America or anywhere that I see in the world today. That is, he said, leave that so that those don't have any means can go and glean and have something for their family. And what I love about the way that God did it was, God didn't say, gather it up and give it to them at some distribution point. He said, you let them go work for it. Let them go to the field. Let them cut it down, because here's why. It will give them dignity. Especially the men of the home. There's dignity in earning for your family. Let them not lose their dignity. Let them go get that. Let them bring it back. And now they can feed their family. And you know what? Nobody gave it to them. They worked for it. So God's way is so much better. It's a pure way and a pure heart way to do this. So Naomi had shared this with Ruth. Ruth now realizes, you know what? I'm younger. I'm here to help take care of you. I need to go out in the fields and do some work. It shows her character. It shows her integrity. It speaks a lot about who Ruth was. And so again, she says, all right, I'm going to go do this. And what does Naomi say? Go. This is great. And again, now when we see her in the fields, we're only going to see it talking about the gleanings. So maybe all of the corners had already been taken before Ruth got there. We don't know. But all we're going to see is that Ruth is getting the gleanings. And again, this beautiful picture of the Gentile bride helping to take care of the Jewish Naomi in this connection back to the Redeemer, while one is bitter and displaced and the other is willing to serve. Again, this beautiful picture of Israel out of the land for 2,000 years being brought back. And now we, the Gentile bride of Christ, connecting them back to the Redeemer and showing that love in serving them. And as we said last week, clinging to them. And so a beautiful picture just unfolding in all this whole picture that he's doing. And notice what it says here. Verse 3, then she left and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Guys, notice this. It just so happened that she ended up in the field that the Redeemer owned. Isn't that something? Guys, there's no such thing as happenstance in a believer's life. That's why I said God has you here today for this reason. He has something to say to you today. If you don't hear it, it's either my failure to get through the Spirit to you or your failure to hear it. But God has a reason you're here today, and he wants your ears to be open to hear what God would say to you. And so again, you see this thing where it says she happened on the field. There was no happenstance. God ordained it. God made sure that Boaz realized, okay, it's okay for a Moabite woman. God told Ruth, you need to get up today and serve Naomi. You need to go to the fields and take care of the family and help them because there's no man around to do that. And it's allowed for women to do this type of work in that day where they couldn't do other types. And so no happenstance. It's ordained by God. This was a divine setup for Ruth and Boaz. And the same is true for you and I. God will divinely set us up. And I want you to know this. God has you in the field that he wants you to be gleaning in right now, whatever that means. It doesn't mean that God doesn't move us to new fields. God does. We have new fields throughout our life that God moves us to. Just make sure that you stay in the field you're in that God has you until God says move to another one. And then be faithful to work in that field until God opens up a door for something else. And so she's there. She goes to this field, this divine appointment. And look what it says in verse 4. It says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting? The Redeemer came from Bethlehem. Where did Jesus come from? Bethlehem. He was born there. By the way, you know where all the Passover lambs were born and raised? Bethlehem. You see the picture. God doesn't make, this is not hard to figure out. It's screaming at us, this whole picture of Jesus and the Gentile bride. And it's all just here. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Now, how would you like to work at that place? Wouldn't that be great? You walk into work in the morning, hey, the Lord bless you. No, the Lord bless you. You know, you're almost fighting to bless each other back and forth. But what's really neat about this is there's more to just the Lord bless you. This was pronouncing a blessing. This is saying basically, may God bless you today. And go, no, God bless you today. Little did they know that literally God was going to bless both Boaz and Ruth in such a huge way today. And Naomi today as well. And really their fields because of the obedience to God and all that was going on. There truly was a blessing here that's happening in the midst of this. And again, you see again the picture here of God's love for the nation, God's restoration, and this connection to Ruth. Again, we see this Christmas verse. We use a lot of Christmas. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5 says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel or redeemer, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Notice this, therefore he shall give them up until. And of course, this is a beautiful picture of what happened to Naomi until God was done working in her life, but also the nation gave them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. That happened in 1948. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us that in one day a nation will be born, and that nation was the nation of Israel. And there's God is speaking about that whole 1948 resurrection that happened in many of our lifetimes. Now, a little before mine, some of you it may have been in your lifetime, many of you it's not, but generally our generation got to see this. It has been fulfilled, Micah, right here before our very eyes. He says, then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Again, in this picture today, the remnant is Naomi and Ruth. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Again, very clearly, a prophecy of the Messiah, but a beautiful picture also what's happening here in that picture, kind of a sub-picture of it with Boaz and Ruth and Naomi. I love it. What a beautiful thing that God has going on here. By the way, when you go to the Word of God, listen, the reason you say, wow, listen, when you go to the Word of God, no matter where you are, look for Jesus. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then Jesus said this, I'm in the volume of the book. And what that means is, this is Jesus revealed. Now, he reveals himself by his spirit, but he reveals himself through his word. And why do I say that? Because again, oftentimes people read certain parts of the Bible, maybe Numbers, you know, that's kind of hard. Leviticus, you know, what in the world can I get out of, you know, begat. God help me, you know. And we feel like we're out in the fields of the Lord, and all we're getting is one little sprig of this and one little sprig of that, you know, as we're trying to glean something from God's field, if you will. And God says, you be faithful, because I'm going to show you things. There'll be times you're going to get a massive harvest. There's going to be times when you're reading the Bible, you may just get a sprig or two, but God has a point for that. He has a reason for that, and God knows what he's doing in that. And what we need to learn to do is, if you start looking for Jesus everywhere you go in the Bible, you're going to start gleaning in places you never thought possible. Man, I'm reading Leviticus, and there's nothing here. It's like, okay, so we don't kill animals anymore, but there's this lamb. Kill the lamb, and then you put the wood in order, and put the lamb on the wood, and then you sacrifice the lamb on the wood in order. Hey, that's what they did to Jesus. They put the wood in order on the cross. They put the lamb on it. Wow. Well, this changes everything. Learn to look for Jesus in every part of the Bible, because this, he will reveal himself to you. And we'll talk more about just the value of that in a moment here. But notice what he says. After all, the Lord bless you. No, the Lord bless you. No, the Lord bless you. Like those chipmunks, if you know what that is. But anyway, some of you know. And then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? He recognizes Ruth. Now, there's probably a number of reasons. One is, according to history again, she was very attractive. Secondly, he would have said, who is she? She doesn't live here. I don't recognize her. They knew everyone in town. The towns weren't that huge in that day. So he would recognize, this is someone that I don't know. This is someone different, if you will. And so what's going on there? And he recognized her. But the other thing that he recognized is, you know what? He recognized there was someone he didn't know that was being very diligent out in his field. Notice what it says here. He said, who is this young woman? And again, this whole picture of this bride, if you will, to the Redeemer. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, and she rested a little bit in the house. In other words, she was very diligent. She was doing work from morning till night. She was standing out, you know, in many ways to them, and it got Boaz's attention. Guys, notice this. Those of you who really are diligent gleaning in the field of the Lord, that is time in his word, your Redeemer notices that. He's going to recognize you. Who is that that's reading the Bible so much? Why is it that she's getting up so early in the morning? Who is that? Why? Tell me her name. Now, God knows your name. But there's a picture I believe that God is painting. And that picture is that when you spend time gleaning in the fields of the Lord and you're diligent in doing it, the Lord recognizes that. And we're going to see later on next week when we get to the second half of chapter 2 that Boaz, because she's being so diligent to glean, he says, you know what? She's working so hard. Drop some extra stuff for her. Give her extra. Jesus said to those who have, more will be given. But to those who reject him and his word, they'll lose what they have. The bottom line is the more you show interest in gleaning in the fields of your Redeemer, the more gleaning you're going to take home. Sometimes people say, you know, where did that guy get this stuff? Where did that girl get this stuff? How'd they get that? You know why? They may not say it, but you know where they got it? They got it from gleaning in the fields of the Lord. And so if you want those things from God, that richness that only comes from doing that, and again, you see her diligence here. It's interesting. She stood out because she, again, they made the point, hey, she's been very diligent. There's something special about her. You know, it's interesting. Again, we can't verify this. I go back to Jewish history as well, but according to Jewish history, she was a Moabite princess. She came from a king's family, they say. And that's all they do. They just mention it and kind of go on. They don't make a big thing of it, which kind of gives it a little bit more legitimacy because they're not using it for some kind of advantage they're trying to use. They just say, yeah, that's what it was. And if that's the case, again, when someone is raised in royalty or someone is raised in the right way, they stand out in their work. Have you noticed that? I see people that do certain jobs, whether it's personal at home or whether here at the church, and they come in and do it, and it's kind of like a mess when they leave. And it's like, okay, where's the integrity? But you see those people that really have high integrity in the way they've been raised and their work standard and their life standard, they come and do it, and they just like, not only do they clean up after their job, they do the bathroom, take the kids to school, and then feed the dog. You're like, who is this person? Why do they do this? Call them back. We want them again. Understand this. This is a sign of character. And so what he's seeing is Ruth has character. It's almost as if he could see the value of who she was simply by watching her serve in the field of Boaz. There's a lot of principles here, guys. There's a lot of pictures here in the midst of this. I also find it interesting in this that she is introduced to Boaz by an unnamed servant. Isn't that interesting? Why do I find that interesting? Because remember, there's another picture of Jesus in Scripture, a man by the name of Isaac. Remember, Isaac was taken to Mount Moriah, and there was going to be the sacrifice, but it didn't work. And then it says that, when Abraham came back down the mountain, God said, no, I'm going to give my son. He said, or myself, I'll provide myself a sacrifice. And so we didn't know it would be his son till later, but I'll provide myself a sacrifice. They come back down the mountain. It's interesting. When they come back down, it only mentions Abraham coming down. It doesn't mention Isaac. Now, we know that Isaac came back down with him, but why do I find that interesting? We don't see Isaac, the picture of Christ, again after that picture of the crucifixion. We don't see him again until he's joined with his bride sometime later. And what a picture that is of the rapture of the church, joined with his bride as he meets her there out in the field. The same thing is happening here. And again, it was when they sent Isaac, when Abraham sent Isaac to get the bride, he sent an unnamed servant. Now, we see here an unnamed servant is introducing Boaz or pointing out Ruth to Boaz. What is my point? Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit will come to help her, but he will not speak of himself. He will speak of me and appoint all eyes to me. In type, this is the unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit now working through this unnamed servant, leading these two together. Even as when you gave your life to the Lord, God was using the Holy Spirit to draw you in. And for some of you this morning, God is drawing you in right now, and it's the Holy Spirit that's doing that. God is drawing you by his Spirit, this unnamed servant behind the scenes working there. And again, watching her gleaning and watching all the faithfulness that she's doing here, the reward that's going to come from that. And so he recognizes this. And notice she's been working so hard. She came in for a little while in the house. Now she's really got his attention. And notice this in verse 8. Then it says, then Boaz said to Ruth. Now again, remember, she's out in the field and he's talking to the workers. It wasn't like that, right? So what happened in between the... He decides, I'm going to talk to her. I want to get to know her. I feel a sense of protection for her because she's a foreigner. She's in a land. She doesn't have anyone to take care of her. And I think about Ruth out there minding her own business and working, going, okay, I understand the culture. It's okay for me to go and glean all this, but kind of seems weird. I'm going in someone else's field. I don't know what she was thinking, but I'd be thinking that. They didn't do that in Moab. In Moab, that would have been stealing. But in Israel, it was God's provision for the people. So she's obeying God's provision for the people. She's trying to provide for she and Naomi. She's out there in the field. She no doubt heard them saying, bless you, no, bless you. She's in the distance, right? And all that's going on. And she just keeps working. That must be the owner. He must be the guy in the field. So she keeps working. And all of a sudden, he comes walking toward her through the field. Can you imagine what she felt like? Have I done something wrong? Am I going to get in trouble? Is he going to say, no foreigners in my field? You're a Moabite woman. Get out of my field. Who knows what she's thinking? And so suddenly there he is, and notice the first thing he says. He comforts her heart. He approaches her, and he says to her, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. In other words, I'm here to protect you. I don't think this was a come on. This wasn't him saying, you know what, I'm trying to pick you up, Ruth. I think you're a Moabite cutie, and I'm coming in, I'm moving in, right? And I'm going to do it. And I don't think that at all. I think what's happening is that he's saying, you know what, I recognize that you need somebody to help you. And you're a foreigner, I've come here. And he says it very forcefully. He says, you'll listen. In other words, listen to me. I want you to hear. And I think he diffuses her concerns even more by causing her daughter. She wasn't a daughter of Jerusalem. She was a Moabite. So why is he calling her daughter? I'm basically saying, look, I'm old enough to be your dad. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. I'm not here. I'm not hitting on you. I'm just letting you know, I want you to stay right here in my field. I feel a sense of protection. I want to watch over you. I want to help you. I don't want you to be able to glean in any other field, but stay by my young women. Now, why would he have such a heart? She's going to ask him in a minute, why do you have such a heart for me? But you have to know some of Boaz's background. Do you remember who Boaz's mom was? What line he was in? Rahab the harlot. He had seen, again, a household where who knows all the different men that are coming and going. Then Rahab gives her life to Christ. She repents. She comes to the Lord. He sees that the nation of Israel takes her in. They're the ones rescued from all the things that happened there in Jericho. So his line continues on and all this. And he sees the grace of the God of Israel to a foreigner. He understands the hardship that they have. And they say, that's a Moabite woman. She's a foreigner. She has hardship. No doubt the first thing he thought was, that's how I grew up. I've got to go talk to her. Ruth, you need to know something. I'm going to take care of you because God took care of me. and I'm going to provide for you. And there's such a beautiful picture of just Jesus realizing what our background is, where we're coming from. You think about, again, the background of Boaz's mom, the prostitute. You think about Ruth and the corruption of the Moabites, although Ruth, it doesn't say, was connected to that. Her people were known to be very, very sexually perverse and very promiscuous, and they were known as just an evil people of that day. At the same time, the Lord says, you know what? It doesn't matter to me. Both of them are going to be in the bloodline of Christ. As long as you come to the God of Israel and you repent, you're welcome in my family. And you need to know that this morning. No matter what your background is and sleeping around, doing drugs, doing alcohol, we could all raise our hand on different things of our guilt in this room. You are forgiven by the blood of Christ. If you come under the blood of Christ, he will not only forgive you, he will take you into his family, he'll make you his bride, and he'll say, I'll be your covering, I'll be your protection. I understand, I want to make you mine. Is that great or what? That's what our God does. That's what our God does. And so he says, you will listen to my daughter. Notice he says here, stay by my young women. That is, I don't want the men hitting on you. You're single, you're attractive, you need to be protected, guard yourself. We'll see that this comes up later again in the second half. But guys, before we go on, I want you to note this. He says, don't go to another field. Don't go to another field. This field is the one you need to be in. This field is good enough. I want you to be in this field. It reminds me of, again, of Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Again, with this picture of Jesus, Paul says this, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. What he's saying is, look, you've got my field. This is where you, as my Ruth, as my bride, I've written down, not that there aren't other things out there that are true, not that there's not good history out there, not that you have to only read the Bible. I read lots of resources. But when it comes to the Word of God and what I know that God wanted us to have, this is the field we need to be gleaning in right here, guys. Your theology, your belief about angels, your belief about the future, your belief about heaven, that should be based on this. This is the field you glean in, the field of your Redeemer, no other field. Because there are other doctrines that are out there, and they may even be mingled with some truth. But once you leave the field that God has you gleaning in, there's going to be a problem and there's going to be damage. God says, I've given you all that you need for life and godliness. You need to keep yourself right here and work in the field that I put before you. And again, this is where you get that food for the soul. And notice he says, verse 9, let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? So I'm here to be your protector. And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. In the end of chapter 2, we'll see he also says, I want you to go and eat the meal that they prepare. And that was when you were a worker in a field and you were poor and you were gleaning from other people's property, you weren't invited to drink their water. You weren't invited to eat their meals. You had to go and get your own stuff. You had to provide your own lunch and all that. He says, no, not only am I not going to make you do that, but you know what? I want you to get your food right here, and I want you to get your drink right here in my field. And isn't that what Jesus would say to all of us this morning? This is the field, guys. This is the field you get your food. This is the field you get your drink of the Spirit as God pours it out. And so again, such a beautiful picture of saying, I'm going to provide everything you need. It's found in the Word of God. So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, a foreigner? Notice her gratefulness and her thanksgiving. And isn't this exactly when Jesus reveals himself to us and says, I love you, I want you to be mine, I'll provide everything you need, I've got a place for you in the kingdom forever and ever and ever, you're going to be a part of my family, although you're a foreigner now. What does that make us do? Fall down at his feet. Say, thank you, God. Why have you taken notice of me? Why would you let me be a part of your glorious plan, your grand adventure, your family? Who am I? We're nobody. That's not the point. He says, you're my bride. I love you. So not nobody in that sense. We are someone. We're his bride. And he loves us very much. But it's not because of who we are. It's because of who he is and what he's done. And so she falls down. Again, we've already talked about the reason he showed her such grace is all the grace that was shown him. And by the way, those of you like me that come from a very, very dark background with a lot of deep and horrible, embarrassing sin, when God forgives people like me, I have an amazing amount of grace for everybody in this room. Amen. Sometimes people say, Pastor Mark, I'm afraid to tell you this because what you'll think about me. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you about my past. But know this, the God of Israel will forgive you. He loves you. He'll wash you clean and start fresh. He's going to give you a brand new life. And what happens is the Bible says, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And so if you're one of those that comes from a dark, very dark background like mine, you're going to be very gracious to other people, and you need to be gracious. I'm not saying I'm always gracious. I have my sinful flesh that I fight just like you have. But again, there's such a beautiful thing here. Even though we've been through this horrible past, God says, I'll take even that and all the just horrible things you did, Mark, and I'll make beauty from ashes. That's our Lord. Why do you acknowledge me? Why do you notice me since I'm a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. And again, nobody's thinking, hey, my wife just died as well. I know the pain that you're feeling right now, Ruth. We're both in the same place. And how you've left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Is that not what we do when we give our life to Christ? He said, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And some of you, when you gave your life to the Lord, you were blessed enough to have a family that knew the Lord. Some of us come from a background, a family that doesn't know the Lord. And when we committed to the Lord, they set us aside. And he says, look, you're going to leave that behind, your family behind for me. You're going to leave your earthly family behind to have your heavenly family. Then you're a part of my family. Now you're coming under my covering. I will be yours, you will be mine, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to pour out riches on you. And God says, if you've done that, he says, I will bless you. He's saying to her, look, you left everything behind for the God of Israel, and you didn't, it's a people and a God you didn't know before, but you've done it, and so God's going to bless you in that. I think it's such a beautiful picture here, again, of what God is doing in their life and the comfort and compassion that he's giving her in this whole picture of what Jesus does for us. And look at verse 12. He says, and the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Again, this is the last verse we're going to cover, but what a beautiful thing. He ends this by pronouncing a blessing on Ruth. And what a beautiful blessing, even as the Lord pronounces blessings over us. He pronounces a blessing over Ruth here and says, you know what? The Lord's going to repay you and give you full reward for your service that you've done for the Lord, number one, but your service you've also done for the nation of Israel. You've come alongside the nation of Israel and clung to them. You're going to be rewarded for that. You're going to be rewarded for what you've done for the Lord. And notice this, because you've come under the wings of the Lord himself. The Bible talks about coming under the wings of the Lord. It's a beautiful picture, again, of those birds, you know, that cover their young by their wings, and that's the one we see the most. But what's really cool about this, this is the same word that's used of the wings of the cherubim that cover the mercy seat or the throne of God. And what he's saying is, look, you're putting yourself on the throne, under the wings of the cherubim, and you're saying, I belong to you, the one that sits on the throne under the wings of the cherubim. She was coming under the wings of the Lord for protection and salvation. Guys, the question is, have all of us in this room come under the wings of the Lord for salvation and protection? Now, for those of us that have, we just soak it in. We're just walking through the fields of Bethlehem, just rubbing the grains and going, love it, Lord, just keep it coming, right? We're enjoying his word. We're enjoying worship, getting drinks of water when we need it. God's refreshing all the time. Some of you have come in this morning and the unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit, he's going, hey, have you seen the Redeemer over there? There's the owner of the field. There he is right there. He's the one saying blessings over everybody. Do you know him? He's saying that to you this morning. And you've got a decision. Am I going to speak to this Redeemer? Am I going to ask his forgiveness because I know that I'm a sinner? Am I going to believe that his blood covers me just like the blood of the Passover lamb? The Bible says if you will confess your sin, God will be faithful to forgive you of your sin, faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you will confess that he died for you, you confess your sin before him, tell him you want to come under his wings and be his Ruth, if you will, and glean in his fields, then God will be a blessing to you and God will bring you into the kingdom. And guys, I want you to know something. The Lord is going to be, again, blessing all those who not only come to him again today, but those that are gleaning in the field of the Lord. As we finish in prayer, I want to pray that we be those that are gleaning in the field of the Lord and get the eye of God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth, looking for those he may show himself strong through. There's one right there. Look how hard she's working in the field. Look how she's leaning. Look at him. He's working in the fields as well. May God give you a hunger for the grain of the field of your Redeemer, and may you find that's all you need, and may you find you catch his attention and his blessing as you enter that field, not just for now, but for the rest of eternity. I want to pray a blessing over us right now. Let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done this morning. Over your people, I want to thank you that we are your Ruth. We are your Gentile bride. We are now a part of your family. Lord, not a part of the original root system of Naomi and the Jewish people, but grafted in by your grace and by your glory. And we thank you, Lord. We have no other field we'd rather spend time in. We have no other place we want to glean. We want to gather everything we have for our life and our nourishment and our drink from you. But God, I pray for those this morning. And I pray first, God, a blessing over all of your flock this morning, all the Ruth that's here, God. Pour out your spirit. Bless your bride. Let her know how much you love her and how much you're protecting her, even as Boaz did for Ruth in that field that day. And just the peace it gave and the joy and the excitement. But God, I pray for anyone this morning that the unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit, would fall upon them right now. God, even as we're about to sing, that you would fall upon each of us by your Holy Spirit, that you'd fall upon those with your Holy Spirit, that you would point them to Jesus, that they would confess their sins, that they would receive you as Lord and Savior, and we would see, Lord, again, your bride continually growing until the day finally it's full and you come and get us in the rapture of the church. God, again, pour out your spirit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the work of your spirit this morning. And thank you that we get to walk into the full fields of Bethlehem with our Redeemer who provides so wonderfully. In Jesus' name.